We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Now the principles hold in the Old Testament as they do in the New Testament. There's no contradiction between the Old and the New Testament. When you have things revealed in the New Testament, they're not revealed in the Old Testament. But there's nothing in the Old Testament that's discounted or discredited by anything in the New. The Old Testament is as much the Word of God as the New Testament. Now, all of us agree that whether you believe man can lose salvation if he gets it or not, some people believe he can lose it and some believe he can't lose it. We're not discussing that at this time. But we all agree that it is possible for man to get out of fellowship with God even in this dispensation. Some of us know what it means to cry out in loneliness because we didn't feel that God was near us, though God was near us. He watches over us all the time. He keeps us by his power. He's ever near to us. We wouldn't know how to get along without him. But there's such a thing as having somebody you love near you, and yet at the same time a feeling that they're not near. Such a one is not near. You have trouble with a loved one. The loved one may be there. But there's a barrier that comes up. And in fact, you might feel nearer that loved one if you were away in some distant place, if there's no difference between you. You know, there isn't anything that makes you feel so far away from somebody if you have something between you and that person. Some hard feeling, something that separates you. And you feel, even though the one's there, he seems to be so distant, so far removed. Now, when sin comes into our life, when we hold on to something that's wrong, our sin separates between us and God. That's true in this dispensation as well as it was true in the old dispensation. And we cry out sometime, O Lord, restore unto me the joy of salvation. Bring me back into fellowship. Let me get right with you. And in every evangelistic campaign, we have a great many backsliders reclaimed. People have been saved, and they come back into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know anything that's any worse in this world than to be out of fellowship with the Lord after you really know him. You know, the joy that you once had, some of you have lost it. I'm talking to somebody now that's wandered away from God. You used to love him. He used to be very near you. You used to talk to him like you talk to a human loved one. You called him Father. You had a strange sense of his nearness. But sin came in between you and your Heavenly Father, and you were separated from him by sin. Now, the psalmist knew something about this when he said, cast me not away from thy presence. You know, did you ever have your mother say, run on now, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. You go on now, no, you can't do that. I remember one time when I was a little fellow, stuck to me so much, I learned a lesson I've never forgotten. I went in and said to my mother, may I have something to eat? And she said, I told you to wash your hands. You didn't wash your hands. Your hands are not clean. And now you didn't do what I told you to do, and you just can't have anything to eat. Now go on. You've got to wash your hands first. If you'd have washed your hands, you could have had this bread, but you just didn't wash your hands. And I went and washed my hands and got everything fixed up, and I got what I wanted. Now, you know, sometimes we come to God and stretch out dirty hands to him. And he looks at our hands and says, I'm not going to give you that. Your hands are dirty. You didn't wash your hands. Your sin got in the way, kept you from getting what you wanted. But when you come clean with God, then you're back on good terms with him, in sweet fellowship with him. So the psalmist says, cast me not away from thy presence. Don't send me away because my hands are dirty. Don't send me away because I didn't do what you told me to do. Help me to be so I can live in fellowship with you, undisturbed and unbroken fellowship. Then he says something else here. He says, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Now, the Holy Spirit operated in the Old Testament, a very different manifestation from the manifestation in the New Testament, but the Holy Spirit's in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament seemed to come upon men at times in a special way, even Samson, that strange man of the Old Testament, dedicated to God from his babyhood by his mother, the man who was set apart as God's man and grew up to be God's man. With the blessing of God upon him, he committed sin once in a while and seemed to get out of fellowship. But The Holy Spirit came upon time to time with strange power. You remember how he slew that lion. And then you remember the story of how Samson up there, when he was blind, you remember in the building, and they were making fun of him. And how he prayed to God. The power of God came back upon him, poor blind Samson. And how he pulled down that temple from the crowd and slew the thousands. You remember how it happened, don't you? Well, the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament seemed to come upon him at times in a strange and wonderful way. But now in the new dispensation, in the New Testament times, it's our privilege to have the Holy Spirit with us all the time. You know, Jesus said, I'm going away to the Father, and I'll pray the Father to send you another comforter. I'll send you, the Greek scholars say the best word in the New Testament is a paraclete. I'll send my attorney, I'll send my lawyer to represent me, to be with you all the time. My attorney will come to you. The paraclete is a Greek word. So the Holy Spirit came. Jesus went home to heaven, and in answer to his prayer, the Holy Spirit came. Now then, he said, I have been with you, but I'm going to be in you, see. Now, we talk about the privileges the disciples had, and what a wonderful privilege they did have. They were with Jesus. They ate with him. They traveled with him. They fellowshiped with him. They saw him with their eyes. But he was just with them. Now, in the person of the Holy Spirit, he's in us. Now, every Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit's in your body. Now, the Holy Spirit's a person. Let's remember that. He's as much a person as you're a person. As I've said to you, I think, before, the Holy Spirit hasn't your hands and feet and eyes and ears and tongue. He hasn't your physical human form, but he's a person, a definite personality, a distinct personality. And every Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Now you think of that for just a moment. If you're a saved person, as you're listening to this message, God, who inhabits eternity, is dwelling in your body. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. He's there in you. He's in that human house, your body. That's the abode of God on earth now. When Jesus came down from heaven to earth, he was God incarnated. He was God manifest in the flesh. Now he went back to heaven, and he comes the presence of the Holy Spirit and clothes himself with our bodies. We're the clothing of the Holy Spirit, so to speak. He dwells in our bodies. And oh, the joy, the blessing, the sweetness of having God dwell in our bodies. When you move, God moves with you. Wherever you go, God goes along. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age, said Jesus. I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. I never leave you. I never forsake you. I never let you down. I never go away from you. I'm with you all the time. When you move, I move. When you stop, I stop. When you go to sleep, I dwell in your bodies. You know, we talk about the marvelous power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have as much of that power in you as you need. There isn't any power you need to meet the problems of life and the difficulties of life, but you have that power in the person of the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. Did you know you have in your body, if you're a Christian, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead? The same Spirit. Jesus was raised from the dead by the Holy Ghost. Now, if you are saved, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. So when the Lord comes again, if you are buried, you'll be raised from the dead. And if you're alive, you'll be quickened. Your body will be quickened and you'll be translated to meet the Lord in the air. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken our mortal bodies. That means give life to our bodies, make our bodies immortal. Our souls are immortal now, but bodies are mortal. But the Holy Spirit in our bodies, if Jesus should come in our lifetime, will quicken our bodies, and we will be translated to meet the Lord in the air. So now this prayer here that the psalmist prayed back in the 51st Psalm in the Old Testament is a very wonderful prayer. It didn't only fit that day, but it fits us today. Now notice, cast me not away from thy presence. Don't let me get out of fellowship. Let me live in communion with you, sweet communion, unbroken communion, day in, day out, never disturbed, always able to talk to you. I think I told you in one of our talks on prayer about how when I was a boy, the old saints used to pray in the country Same old prayer over and over. Oh, Lord, help us to get on praying grounds and pleading times with thee. Praying grounds and pleading times. Now, we ought to live that way all the time. We Christians ought to all times be in such fellowship with God that we can call him Father and talk to him. Don't have to get rid of a lot of sin to get to him. Of course, if we do have sin, we should get rid of the sin and come to him. However great may be the task and how terribly hard the difficulty, we ought to be able and willing to do it in order to have this fellowship. We ought to be honest. We have to be honest with God. We have to shoot straight with God. We can't pop a sham life over on our Heavenly Father. He knows us too well. So we ought to be able to say, Lord, let me live in fellowship with you. And then the Holy Spirit, whether he leaves us or not in this dispensation, whether he does or whether he doesn't, I'm not discussing that now. But men and women, how we need his power. How you and I need the power of the Holy Spirit. How weak and helpless and frail we are in this day. How we need the Holy Ghost to help us. How we're trying, so many of us, to do God's work in a human way. It's not easy to do God's work in the energy of the flesh. But it's not hard to do God's work in the power of the Holy Ghost. I've been an evangelist for many years, and I've seen God work miraculously. And it's a wonderful thing to just watch God do things that human beings cannot do. To say, this is what God has wrought. There's never a time out here at Bob Jones University we cannot find something to remind us of the working and power of God. I was just talking to a friend in the studio about a girl that came here this year. She's a good girl, she's a young girl, but certain circumstances in her life and her surroundings were not exactly what they ought to be in. And some friends got her here in school. She has good friends to help her along. They got her here in school. And this friend here in the studio said, oh, what a miracle has been wrought in that girl's life. She came here all mixed up on her religion. Didn't know exactly what she believed. And what a marvelous transformation God has wrought in the life of that girl. That's the way God does it. My, it's marvelous what God can do, how he can bring about the miraculous. You know, if we just realize that and look to God, when we are so helpless and realize that he's all-sufficient, all-powerful, and how we need him. Now, it's one thing to have the Holy Spirit in your body. It's another thing to have the Holy Spirit sit on the throne and hold the reins of authority over your life and guide you and control you and direct you. So why don't you yield yourself completely to him this morning? Let him have his way with you, mold you and make you and shape you and direct you and control you so we can make this our prayer too. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Our Heavenly Father, how we need to be near to thee. We're in a world filled with so much trouble and so much sin and so much sorrow. In a world of such uncertainty, we don't know which way to turn and what to do sometimes. But we thank thee that thou always knows. And you can guide us when we don't know which way to go. You know which way we should go. And you know the road that we need to travel. So we yield ourselves to thee and trust thee and pray for guidance and help and the leadership and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives this day and all days. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist, and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.